So tonight I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, for certainly today we continue to want to celebrate that mystery of God made man, and also, as we sing in our opening hymn, made manifest to us. And the baptism of our Lord, whose feast we celebrate today, continues to make manifest to us that mystery of the Incarnation, that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, who was incarnate of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, nevertheless was also born and eventually was baptized in the River Jordan, which all of us have that constant reminder of as we walk through the church, and we can look up to the magnificent stained glass window in which depicts that baptism. Or perhaps as we walk through the narthex and you look over to the baptistry on the right and you see that image of John the Baptist pouring water over our Lord. Just as an aside, that little baptismal font, how old it is. Look it up in the history of our church, how old it is and how wonderful it is to have such a historical baptismal font with us. But today we do celebrate the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And I want to share with you a little insight that I have with this. Having many of you know this past November, I took my retreat to the Holy Land. And so I want to, if you will, go with me as we were to walk to this place where this scene in today's gospel takes place. Now, Jesus, it says in the gospel, came to the Jordan from Nazareth. I started in Jerusalem. So you had to go down out of the mountains, down out of the city of Jerusalem, taking the road west towards the Dead Sea, towards Jericho. And then you hit that and you go north on the highway. So as you're traveling north, now Jesus, of course, would have been traveling south from Nazareth, but we're traveling north because that's the way I did it, and you have to do it my way. So as we're traveling north, we have the mountains to our left, which go the entire north-south of the country of Israel, and to the right we have the plains, and in the plains are filled with all these tropical fruit trees, mangoes, figs, beautiful fruits, delicious fruits. And beyond them you can see the River Jordan, and beyond that you can see the mountains of the country of Jordan. And so as you're driving north, eventually you stop. The bus driver knows when, and you go right towards the banks of the river. Now, as a sad note of our humanity, you have to drive through a minefield to get there, because we all know that the people in that area are not holy. And so you drive through that minefield, and you can kind of feel the sadness of like, ooh, sin. And you get to the parking lot, the bus parks, you get out, and you walk past the gift shop, because you're not a tourist, you're a pilgrim. And so you continue down, and then they built these wooden stairways so that you can walk down into the river itself. And there are crowds of people from all over the world speaking languages, most of which you can't even identify. And some of them are just scooping down and cupping up the water and pouring it over them. Others are actually getting into the water. Some are getting baptized there, maybe for the first time. Others perhaps renewing their baptism. Of course, the gift shop was there, so some people are buying these souvenir t-shirts. They're putting the souvenir t-shirts on, and then they go into the river, and they get baptized in their white t-shirt, and they're like, woo, I'm all baptized now. It's kind of exciting. But you pause, and you sit there. There's plenty of seats. They've even built like a little thatched hut, and you can ponder that it was here in the river. This is believed to be the very site where Jesus came to his cousin John and allowed himself to be baptized. To be baptized. Just like you and I were all baptized. Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak. Maybe there's people in our midst tonight who weren't baptized. But just like you and most of you and I were baptized. Certainly in years past, I remember last year Deacon Clark, now Father Clark, and I know Father Saunders, I don't know how many years ago, encouraged you all on this feast of the baptism to go back and look at your baptism on the day that to look up what day you were baptized, to consider that day. For today's feast, then, of the baptism of the Lord reminds all of us that it's our feast day in a way, which we are called to remind ourselves of every time we enter this church. By all of the doors of the church, there's the holy water fonts, not just because we want to share germs, but because we want to, all of us, call to mind that we enter this church. We enter God's house. We belong here only because we have been baptized. That in baptism, we have been baptized into that relationship with God, which St. John is speaking of in our second reading. That we are members of God's family now. And so when we dip our hands in the water, that holy water, that water with which we were baptized, we then cross ourselves in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, invoking that same Trinity within whose name we were baptized when we were baptized. That's a lot of repetitive verbs, forgive me. So anyway, you could sit there on the banks of the Jordan, which you have to kind of ignore the fact that it's now a completely silty river. Unlike the beautiful blue in our stained glass window, it's just completely mud. And there's ferns and there's cattails and all these things growing. And you imagine what was taking place. You imagine the crowds coming and you imagine Jesus coming and walking up to John. And John saying, I am not worthy to do this, Lord. We should stop and we should think, what kind of a man was John the Baptist? Well, we remember from just a few weeks ago before Christmas when we focused on the ministry of John. Scholars would tell us that perhaps John the Baptist was a member of a religious group called the Essenes. They lived a life mostly in the desert. There's archaeology going on now, and I was able to go to where they lived, that city of Qumran, which is famous for the scrolls that were found there, all the writings of the Old Testament found there near that Dead Sea, which is a dying Dead Sea. It's continuously shrinking and getting saltier and saltier as it continues. We know so much about this community because of those scrolls. We know that John, from the Bible, we could also learn, he went out to live in the desert as a hermit, to pray and to fast, to draw closer to God. John was preparing himself for what he saw was his mission. That was to prepare the way for the Lord, the Lord's anointed one. To make the Messiah known when he was to come. He said, there is one among you whom you do not recognize, and he it is who is the Lamb of God. He it is who will baptize you, not merely with water like I am doing. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now we want to consider that carefully. John the Baptist was, as his name implies, baptizing. What was his baptism? People would come to John when they were ready to repent of the sin in their lives. John immersed them in the waters of baptism as a merely symbolic action when they came to him, when they wanted to be cleansed of their sins, when they wanted to be renewed spiritually, when they wanted to begin anew that friendship with God which belonged to the Jewish people as God's chosen ones. And yet John would have recognized that it was merely a symbol. But he says, the one who is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Not merely symbolically, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. These images that invoke the very presence of God. John the Baptist is saying, the one who will come after me will baptize you with God himself. Not washing you with water, washing you with grace. Not giving you watery natural life, no, giving you supernatural life. He's saying that Jesus would bring the newly baptized person into union with the very Godhead. Into the presence and the activity of God himself. And so consider John standing waist deep in the River Jordan. Consider Jesus walking up to him. All the crowds who have been doing this. John's arm may be a little tired from having dunked all these people. And Jesus comes and says, I want to be baptized. And John says, I'm the one who should be baptized by you. You are the Holy One. You're the Lord's anointed. My baptism does nothing. Yours does everything. Why does Jesus ask his cousin to baptize him? Jesus came to fulfill the will of his Father. He was sent into the world to bring salvation to all people. He came to redeem us from the power of Satan, from the destruction of sin, to reestablish a right relationship between God and man, that which was ruptured by Adam and Eve and which continued to be ruptured by the sins of every person since them. Jesus wanted to show us how much he desired to be identified with humanity. And so he was born with our human nature. He completely identified himself with humanity, and so he goes and he says, to fulfill all righteousness, let me be baptized. Let me show the world. Let me make manifest that I have come to be with man, to bring man into relationship then with God. By being baptized by John, Jesus showed himself to be on man's side, to be in solidarity with sinners, to be on the side of the ordinary people of his day, with the poor, with the powerless, but above all, with those who came to John the Baptist. That is, Jesus showed that he was on the side of those who were repenting, who were ready to begin anew. Jesus wanted to reveal to those who were open to hear his word that God the Father loves us with the love of a father for his children. This is what John is speaking of in that second reading. He wanted to teach them that God had sent him to redeem man. As was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, Jesus came and his word will not return void, but rather he will bring men and women to God. He wants to do that with you and me, to bring us to God, into right relationship. And so we have to ask ourselves on this night, are you and I filled with repentance, constantly repenting of our sins? The church tells us this is what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be. This is why every Mass begins with that acknowledgement of our sins. Because you and I are a people of penitence. You and I are a people with whom Jesus has identified himself, acknowledging our sinfulness and begging the Lord for life. From the very beginning of his public ministry, Jesus shows that he is going to be totally obedient to the Father's will. We can ask ourselves, are you and I ready to be totally obedient to the Father's will? John says, if we love God, we will keep his commandments. Today, as we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, today as we consider our own baptism, we could consider, do we live the Ten Commandments? Do we allow them to shape our lives? And I imagine if you're anything like me, your answer is going to be no. I am a sinner. And so we want to ask ourselves then, do we constantly make recourse to the sacrament of penance and say, Lord, I've messed up again. I need to be forgiven. Lord, you are filled with mercy. Forgive me yet again. Because every time you and I enter that sacrament of confession, when we hear the priest say, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it's as if you and I are once again with Jesus coming up out of the River Jordan and hearing God the Father say, you are my son. Or if you're a girl, my daughter. You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. For Christ came to save sinners. And when we let him save us, how pleased the Father is with you, with me, with his Son, who is freeing us, who desires to be a friend to sinners. And so as this new year begins, we need to see beyond the limitations of this world, to see the freedom that belongs to the sons of God, the freedom which is given to us by God's grace, freedom to get away from our self-imposed faults, freedom to live and worship God without fear of all of the world's considerations, but rather with the freedom of knowing that there is God, the one whom we are not worthy even to reach out and touch, but who desires to identify himself with us, who comes among us to free us, to save us, to forgive us. Consider what God the Father saw as Jesus approached John the Baptist in that River Jordan. Consider what God the Father is seeing this very night as we approach Jesus in this church, in this Holy Mass. The crowds of people the prophet crying out, "Repent, conform your lives to the will of God. Let God be well pleased with us tonight, so that we can be conformed more perfectly to the image and likeness of His Son, so that we can be His light, spreading the word to all those whom we encounter, so that ultimately you and I, indeed all of the world, all of the nations, all of the people, can be counted as family members, brothers and sisters, children of God the Father."